Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Every Nation online service. My name is Shino. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Today, we're going to continue in our sermon series, Awesome God. And what we've learned is God is all powerful. He's all sovereign. There's none like him. And most of all, we've learned that God intervenes with his creation. We've seen this because God cares about his people. He'll intervene. He'll step in and answer their cry. You know, we started off learning that he is the great I am, and Moses knew him that way. We learned that Gideon found out that he's the Lord, our peace, Jehovah Shalom. We have also saw that he's also Jehovah Jireh, our abundant provider. He provided that ram in the bush for Abraham. And so today we're going to learn about a new name of God by the name of El Roi, the God who sees. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn right now to Genesis 16, 6 through 14. And we're going to learn about this God. But before I get started, I want to go to just a little bit to the beginning. I want to explain where we are and just kind of the backdrop of all this. So Abraham was promised a son. We learned that last week that he had a child by the name of Isaac. Through his lineage, God was going to bless the nations of the world. But before then, he gave him a promise, and it took a little while for that child Isaac to be born. And so Abraham got a little impatient. He wanted to take matters into his own hands. And he's looking at his wife, and she wasn't too much full of faith anyway, because when she heard about it, she laughed. And so here you got these two people wrestling with faith. And all faith is a wrestle with doubt. And so here they are wrestling. Is this God going to come through on behalf of his promise? And so, unfortunately, Abraham gets in the way of God, if you will, and takes matters into his own hands. And he goes to his servant girl, and he takes and adopts her child and tries to pass it on through him. But God did not want to bless it that way. And so 10 years pass since God speaks to Abraham. And all of a sudden, Abraham once again tries to take matters into his own hand, but he does it a different way. This time, it's his wife who gets impatient, and she tells Abraham, hey, look, it looks like this thing's not gonna happen. And so Sarah convinces her husband, Abraham, to sleep with her servant girl, Hagar. And unfortunately, this is not the way that God wanted it to be. And what I realized in that moment, instead of pausing and asking God, is this what you would have me to do? He moves in the flesh and does something that's opposite or contrary to the divine will of God. See, God is a God of order, and he commands us to be patient, to wait on him. The one thing we've learned about God is that he never shows up too late. He never shows up early. He always shows up on time. And you know, through this process, this woman becomes pregnant, Hagar, and it causes tension. It causes strife, even to the point that what it looks like from the outside is that now she technically, from a societal point of view, becomes the wife. And this begins to wear on Sarah to the point where she begins to treat Hagar harshly, to the point now she doesn't even want her in the home. And so Abraham doesn't know what to do because of this tension. And we'll pick it up right here in Genesis 16, 6 through 14. He says this, "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord from Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road of Sher. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be two numbers to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You should name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." Verse 13, she gave the name, "The Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees me." For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is the still there between Kadesh and Beer. Now let's stop here. She's being mistreated. She's being ridiculed for something that she didn't even do. And you know, sometimes that a blessing can also become a burden if it's not done under the context of the Lord. And so anything that the Son produces, the Father protects. And this right here is a sign of man. I'm telling you out there right now, what you don't want to do is you don't want to produce a burden. You want to produce a blessing. Abraham should have waited on God for the true blessing. But now he's produced a burden for his wife, a burden for him, and something that we're dealing with to this day. Ishmael, Hagar, it's difficult for all this to come together. But you know, the one thing I love about God is that God loves to intervene for his people. And God is a God who sees. God is a God who eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone with faith. And so here it is, Hagar flees and runs off into the desert. Doesn't know where she's going, but just running away from her past, running away from her hurt, running away from her pain. But the one thing I know about God is this, is God will chase you down. God will come out of nowhere and find you. You can't hide from God. I thought I was fast back in the day. And you know, I used to try to run from God. I used to try to do this, that, and the other, but God was right there waiting for me. My first point is this, is that we need to be patient. You know, patience is a Christian cuss word. Nobody wants to talk about patience. You know, everything is fast paced. I need this. I need that. I want this. I want that immediately. Nobody likes the process. Everybody wants the end result. But the thing about God is this, is God is the God of details. And there's some things that we got to learn through that process of patience. And so here it is right here in Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Yes, they were hoping for this child, but they got impatient and produced a burden. You know, I remember one time I got impatient. I was playing pro ball, and a person that I hired to work for me, I felt at the time wasn't doing their job. And so I got impatient and said, look, let me just do it. You sit over there, even though I'm paying you all this money, you're not doing what I want you to do. So let me intervene and do it my way. And so I got on the phone and I began to call all these teams. And this is back when the cell phone was probably like $10 a minute. And not only that, I was calling international. And so I'm calling all these teams, trying to promote myself, trying to do something my way instead of doing it God's way. And the thing that is funny about it is I had gotten a word previously that God was going to open up a door for me and do something significant and something miraculous. But you know what? I got in the way of God. And yes, you know what? I went around and I made all these calls and nobody wanted me. And I thought I called every team that I was supposed to call in this area. And you know, one morning I get up and it's about 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm walking through the house and all of a sudden the phone rings. Now my heart dropped because I'm thinking, wow, why's the phone ringing at 5 o'clock in the morning? Ain't nothing good at 5 o'clock. You know, who's going to be calling my house? And all of a sudden, it was a team from the area that I thought that I had called everyone, but I didn't call this one particular team that made an offer on the spot. They said, if you want to play for us right now, you have to get on a plane by 12 this afternoon and we'll fly you here. We'll sign you and you can participate and be a part of the team. Now, I'm full of faith. I'm excited. Man, I get on the plane. I go up there and I'm full of faith. Man, I'm blessed. But you know what? I also produced the burden. But probably about a month later, I get the phone bill. And the phone bill is just as much, probably half of the check that I'm getting ready to make. I had to pay back to the phone bill. So something that should have been a blessing ended up being a burden. Be patient. Be patient. You have to wait on the Lord. Abraham was impatient and produced a burden instead of a blessing. The Bible says this. In Psalms 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. God hears your cry today. He hears what it is you're going through. He knows exactly what it is you're dealing with. God never wastes pain. I've said that before. And you know, also, God is always watching. He's always listening. He's always looking in. He is the true eye in the sky. And the reason I say eye in the sky, because the sport that I played, they had this tower. And we would always argue if we made a mistake. You know, unfortunately, when you play a pro sport, a lot of times they film your mistakes. They see everything. So there's no saying I didn't do this or I didn't do that. No, they'll run it back and they'll say, yes, you did. You messed up. And you know what? There's a God in heaven that sees all, knows all. He's watching our steps. He knows our coming and going. And he's watching this situation with Abraham. He's watching this situation with Sarai. He's watching this situation with Hagar. He's watching it and he's looking in on it. And he's looking and shaking his head. Man, you should have just waited for the blessing. But now this thing's turned into a burden. It's turned into a burden. Be patient. Be patient. It's okay to wait. Things happen when we wait on the Lord. God works character. He works a lot of things out inside of us. You know, God is always working in the unseen realm. He's opening doors that you have no ideas he can open. And he's closing doors that you have no idea he wants to close. You know, some of y'all need to hear this right now. God's no is really a yes for you. And you don't want to hear that because you know what? That no is a protection for something you don't need. And so be patient. Wait on the Lord. Allow him to do what needs to be done in your life. And I'm going to allow him to what needs to be done in my life. But once again, God is a merciful and kind God. And he connects with Hagar out in the desert. And he asks her this question. Where are you coming from and where are you going? Where are you coming from and where are you going? See, it's funny how we think we can run away from our past. But you know what? When we run from the past and we don't deal with stuff, all we do is bring it with us into our future. And she's bringing all this stuff out here in the desert. But God is merciful and God is kind and God is right there waiting on her. And he asked her this question, where are you coming from and where are you going? You know, the name Hagar, you know what it means? It means flight. And some of us have a flight in us. Every time some pressure comes or an uncomfortable situation or something happens, we want to run instead of stay. And then my second point is this, is stop running. Stop running from God and start running to God. Stop running from your past and deal with it. Deal with the hurt. Deal with the pain. Yes, it's not good. Yes, it's uncomfortable. But I promise you this, if you just turn back to him, he's there waiting for you to take care of that circumstance and to take care of that situation and to make things right. It says this in Psalms 139, 7 through 8, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. There's no running from God. There's no escape from God. And what I've learned over the past, the things that I run from that are godly usually be the things that want to bless me, the things that want to turn stuff around for me. You know, I ran from a connect group, but it was a connect group that helped me. I ran from church, you know, and you know what? Church was there to help me. You know, there was a moment when I ran from the call of God. You know, somebody came to me and spoke a word prophetically to me. And they said this, they said, you know, I see a call of God on your life and you're running from it. You're running from the call. And you know, I hid behind a talent. I hid behind something, but internally I was sad. I wasn't happy playing and doing what I was doing at the time. And so I thought, man, if I could go over here, God would leave me alone. But no, God had people waiting for me there to tell me, man, there's a call of God on your life. I mean, I thought if I could run over here to this place. No, he had people waiting there saying there's a call of God on your life. And finally, when I threw my hands up and I realized that God is omnipresent, that he's everywhere. There's nowhere you can go. There's nowhere you can hide. You need to just throw your hands up and surrender to Jesus. Surrender to the Most High God because he is Elohim. He sees everything. Can't escape him. Running from God. Galatians 5:7 says this, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You know, they get into this dialogue. And God begins to minister to her, begins to lay out some things. I've heard your cry. I see your pain. Let me begin to minister. And that's what I love about our God, is that he's a God that intervenes. He's a God that will connect with you right where you are. You could be in your apartment. You could be in your home. You could be in your car. You could be on your job. You could be out in the park running. You can be anywhere, and he will intervene and connect with you. He's right out there in this desert with her. Empathizing, sympathizing. I know your maidservant. I know you're hurt. I know you've been done wrong. I know you've been mistreated. You need to understand today that God knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He's seen it. He's seen every cry. He's seen every a situation that you've been in that was unjust or unrighteous. He's seen it. But when you allow him to go deep into your soul and pull that thing out that's kept you running, stop running and embrace the creator of heaven and earth. Because anybody can love your body, but there's only one who can love your soul, and that's God. Allow him to do that. And as he begins to minister to her, he begins to speak into her life. He begins to tell her what's to come. You have a child inside of you, and his name will be Ishmael. And I'm going to bless him. Oh, he's going to be wild. He's going to be crazy. But you know what? I'm going to bless him. Yes, he's going to be confrontational with his brothers. He's going to live a lifestyle contrary to everybody else. He's not going to want to do what he wants. He's going to be kind of like that thorn in your side. But you know what? I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you great. The only time God spoke to somebody like that other than Abraham, make you great, your descendants. But there were some stipulations with this. And this is what I love about God, is God is not going to give it to you for free. He's not going to give it to me for free. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to do. See, faith without works is dead. So it's time now to ante up to all those prayers that we prayed back in 2020. Oh God, if you get me out of this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll serve you. If you do this, I'll follow you. Well, it's time to ante up, because we're still here in 2020. He said this to Hagar, you're going to have to go back. And you're going to have to submit to Sarai. You're going to have to be there with her. And if you do that, then those blessings are going to come upon you. See, obedience is always better than sacrifice. Stop running. Obey whatever God is speaking to you. Listen to whatever God is telling you to do in this season of your life. It's quick, and it's better to do it God's way than to do it your way. I'm here to tell you this time, do not produce a burden. You want to produce a blessing, do it God's way. Ishmael. You're going to name him Ishmael. Ishmael means the Lord hears. The Lord heard. The Lord sees. God is right there, man. He's in the midst. You can't fool him. He sees all, hears all. And so now here's the stipulation. You got to go back. You got to go back. You know, going back is not fun. You know, going back sometimes hurts, because now you're starting to remember that person said this, that person did that, that situation. But you know what? Going back is where the blessing is going to begin. Going back to the foundations of who we are in Christ is where it all begins. And my third point is this, is we got to trust that he sees, and we have to trust that he cares. The Bible says this in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. See, when you and I are crying out to the Lord, we don't serve a God that's dead. We serve a God that's alive. See, Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. Confucius is dead. But our God is alive. His name is Jesus. And he's sitting right side of the Father in power. And he's listening to every cry. He's listening to your voice. He's listening to those petitions. He's listening to everything that you and I are offering up and petitioning and crying out to him for. Oh, he's heard that cry for a child. He's heard that cry for that wayward daughter. He's heard that cry for a wayward son. He's heard that cry in Jesus' name for a job. He's heard that cry for the home. He's heard that cry for that apartment. He's heard the cry for a car. He's heard the cry for resources and finances. Oh, our God hears and our God sees. He's seen when you've been on the side of your bed, bended knee, weeping and crying, calling on his name. Oh, he sees. And yes, he cares. He cares. You know, this embrace that God has with Hagar transforms her life. She says, now I know that my God sees me. And you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the beauty of this story is showing this, is that God is drawn to the down and out. God is drawn to people that are broken, that are hurting, that are misunderstood, that people are overlooking, if you will. God sees. He saw the woman at the well. He saw the lepers. He saw all that was going on. He saw and he moved in and he intervened. Oh, he cares. We have a God that can empathize and sympathize because he's been there. You know, when you're talking to God and you're throwing up those petitions or you're on the run and you're talking to God, oh, he knows. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood, to be overlooked. He knows. But you know what? He cares. He cares deeply about you and he cares deeply about me. He cares. God cares about his creation. It says this in Psalms 33:13, for heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. He sees all mankind. He sees it. He sees it. God takes up the cause of the oppressed. He takes up that cause. He comes alongside you and I, and he helps carry the load. But you know what, saints? We can't continue to birth burdens. We got to continue to birth blessings and be obedient and to do what God is calling you and I to do. He cares. He sees. He knows. Jesus is our Elroi. He's our Elroi. He sees everything that you and I are going through. And he wants to embrace you and I in a fresh new way in 2021. See, that stuff from the past ain't gonna work. Getting out of this and getting out of that. No. We're gonna have to do it God's way. And sometimes God's way means going back. Sometimes God's way is doing it the uncomfortable, the unconventional, the way that doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. You telling me to go back and deal with that? Yes. Yes, for the sake of freedom. Yes. Forgive her. Forgive him. Forgive that situation. Let that thing go. You can have it, God. Your will be done. Not my will. Your ways. Not my desires. Your desires. And you live that way, freedom will come to your life. Oh, he sees and he knows and he cares. And my last scripture verse is this in Psalms 34:19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Elroi, the God who sees. The affliction, the pain, the shame, the hurt, the confusion, he sees. And he cares. And so where you are right now, I want you to give it to God. Lay that thing that's been a burden instead of a blessing, lay it on the altar where you are right now. Lay it down and give it to God, because he sees. He sees. He knows what you went through. He knows. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I would ask right now that people would trust that you've seen it all. And that, God, they would allow you to come in today and to restore and to make things right. Now, Lord, whatever it is you're speaking to your people right now, I pray from the depth of their soul, there would be a yes, Lord. A yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you've seen it. And yes, Lord, you have the right to fix it the way that you want to. Now, God, I pray that as you're undoing what needs to be undone in people's lives and making things right, that there will be much praise, that there will be much thanksgiving, and that there'll be much, much rejoicing in their home, in their apartment, in their car, wherever they are right now. There would be a praise and a shout because you've seen and you're delivering. Father, we thank you that you're a God who sees. And Lord, you're a God who cares. Lord, bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.